Okay, let's begin in James, talking about prayer. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Is Max coming back or not? Nope. Okay, because I want... Okay. Okay. Okay, well, we're fine. Max, James chapter 5... starting with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He's using the patience of the farmer when he plants his seed and waits for a crop to encourage us to be patient unto the coming of our Lord. He says, for it draweth nigh. Now, James said this back in shortly after our Lord went to heaven, when he wrote this epistle. And folks, if it was drawing nigh then, it's really drawing nigh now. It could be any day, any time. And we as believers, as his children, should literally be looking forward to that day. Now, I've got to confess, I wasn't always looking forward to the Lord when I was a younger Christian, but as I get older, the more I realize how wonderful it would be if he'd come back. And or even if I would go home. Absolutely. I just tell the Lord every morning, I'm ready to come home. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge sitteth before the door. And let's just not be judgmental one of another. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. One of the biggest things that James brings out in his epistle here is truthfulness. When we speak, be truthful. And boy, that's so needed today. And we as Christians should always be careful that we don't follow the example of the world. And he said, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. And above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Then he says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We used to do that some time ago in this church. The deacons and the pastor go visit the sick and pray over them. And maybe we need to start doing that again. And the prayer of the faith, verse 15, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven. What do you mean, if he had committed sins? All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Yeah, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is truth. It's not, I'm not blowing smoke, but as I've gotten older, I'm going on 81 now. Gene, you're ahead of me, and so is Dick, but I'm right behind you. I am just now learning how to pray. And the early morning, I get up about 4 o'clock, is my best time, just to pray before the Lord. And there's times when I'm heavy, my heart's heavy, and I just pour that out. There's times when I'm rejoicing and I sing psalms. And just like the scripture says, and folks, that can be a wonderful time in your life. Learn to do that. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Both of my rain gauges got busted during this freeze. There was water in them, and the glass broke in both of them. And I was thinking of going by another rain gauge. And I was thinking, if the guy asked me, what are you going to buy a rain gauge for? I said, I'm praying for rain. And the scripture says that we need to pray believing. In other words, when you ask for something, believe that you'll have it. So many times we pray doubting, and I'm confessing here, and we don't really believe that God will answer our prayer. But folks, that's not good. Go ahead.
On that verse, you talked about 14. If any of sick among you, let him call of the elders of the church. Mm-hmm. Let them pray over him. Do you all remember Dr. Joe West?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard in one of his sermons, he said one time that I was listening to a sermon on tape.
Yeah.
Or Larry.
You're talking about.
It takes a lot of faith to call y'all up and ask. Or
yeah.
Come forward and ask y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
You know?
Yes.
It makes sense to me.
It does.
You know?
Yeah. 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 That's a practice would be good, but you're right. The ones that are sick, those families should call for the elders of the church, come out and pray for them.
I've told some people to do that. That's
yeah. That's a good point, Casey. It's probably more important than going to the doctor. Yes. Yeah. 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 And so, absolutely. Now, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years. Yikes. Sounds like South Texas, doesn't it? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I still can't get over. I was talking about the prodigal son Sunday morning in the Sunday school, and I still just the picture of our Heavenly Father, how He so wondrously wants to forgive us, and even will come running to us, and we confess our sin, and He almost ignores it. You see. And folks don't realize how wonderful He is, how wonderful our Heavenly Father is. And we could ever get a good picture of Him like this in the Scripture, we would be a lot more apt to pray more and to confess our sins and go before Him every day. It's very important. I was thinking about prayer, and especially our nation and the trouble we're in. Thinking about a good example of that in Scripture. And you know, America right now, the Chinese are liable to pass us up in every way. The Russians are out against us. The Muslim nations are terribly against us. And yet the people we have in power seem to ignore all of that and are more interested in some of these sinful things that I talked about. And folks, if that goes on, God's going to judge us terribly. Now, I was thinking about somebody that was in that kind of condition and prayed. Daniel came to mind. Go to chapter 9 of Daniel. Now, Daniel, as you know, was God's man in captivity, under judgment. The Jewish people were taken captive because of their sin under the Babylonians, and were in captivity for 70 years, I believe it was. And, well, it was weeks of years. And Daniel was a good guy. Daniel and the three Hebrew children. And Daniel was under King Darius in chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, and he would accomplish 70 years. And those that understand prophecy more than I do, I believe that's weeks of years, and I think we're talking about 490 altogether. But anyway, and he says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel got thrown into the lion's den at one point because his enemies, he got on the right side of the king. He interpreted dreams and did things for the king that was supernatural. And of course, his enemies hated him, and those, because the king promoted Daniel. And at one point, well, let me see if I can find it. Turn to the first part of Daniel. I hate to quote from memory because, folks, my memory ain't as good as it used to be. Well, anyway, at one point, those guys that were against him says they tried to find something that they could accuse him of and get him thrown into prison. And they made a remark here in one of the verses, and I can't remember where it was. They says, if we're going to find anything against this guy, it's going to have to be his religion, because they couldn't find anything wrong. And so that what they did was they went to the king and asked him to make a decree, I think it was for 30 days, that anybody that would pray or ask of anything to any god besides the king, that he'd be thrown in the lion's den. And of course, that was the decree of the Medes and Persians, and that was completely irrevocable. In other words, once the king signs it, there's no way to change it. And of course, the silly king agreed to do that, and he signs it. And then, of course, immediately they put out this decree that for 30 days, I think it was 30 days, no one can pray to any god except for the king. Daniel goes home, and his windows open. And he kneels down in front of his window facing Jerusalem and prays like he does every day, three times a day. And of course, they're out there watching, and immediately they go and accuse him to the king and says, King, you've got to throw him in the lion's den. Yes.
The passage you're thinking about is 6:10, Daniel 6:10.
Thank you. Let's go there. Why don't you read it for us, Larry, starting with verse 5.
5?
Mm-hmm.
Counselors.
And then they came to the king and they said, you've got to throw them in the lion's den. And the king spent all night trying to find some loophole in the law where he could save Daniel, and he couldn't. So he put him in the lion's den and he says, Daniel, your God will protect you. King had starting to have real faith in Daniel's God. And then the king doesn't sleep all night, but Daniel pulls up a soft, fluffy lion for a pillow and sleeps well. And the king gets up in the morning early and runs over to the lion's den, and he cries out mournfully, Daniel, was your God able to protect you? And I forget where that is. 21, then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me for as much as before him, innocence he was found in me. Also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. And of course, the king then threw all the bad guys into the lion's den. But that's what kind of a man this is, this Daniel. And even in captivity, remember, the Lord Jesus says that we should pray for our enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. The greatest witness to a lost world is the kind of spirit like this man had. That's a powerful witness. So go to chapter 9, and we're going to close here in chapter 9. And Daniel prays for his people. And try to apply that in your mind as us praying for our nation. In the first year of, is it Darius or Darius, Larry? Okay. By the way, folks, I don't know if you realize it. Sunday morning, I was getting really confused, and I told the pastor, some people have noticed it. I've had, I think, several of these, what the doctors call TIAs, minor strokes, and I just don't have the mental capacity I used to have, so bear with me. In the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, and we read this earlier, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, and he tells about how the nation is going to be judged. But notice in verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication. Now notice, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, he is serious about his prayer. And I'm afraid so many times we go before the Lord with vain repetition, and we're mumbling prayer and our mind is somewhere else. And folks, that's not good. We need to really set our face unto the Lord and be serious about our prayer. I prayed unto the Lord my God, and notice, made my confession and said, O Lord, the great dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. He's using the all-inclusive pronoun we. This is probably the best man walking on the earth in that day, and he calls himself a sinner. And folks, if we deny our sin, we make God a liar. God always wants us to confess our sin. And in fact, that's my prerequisite when I start praying. That's the first thing. We have sinned and have committed iniquity. America has sinned. We've done wickedly. We've rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee. Remember, this is a prayer coming from his heart. But unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, and they have trespassed against thee. Lord, unto us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. And by the way, when we pray for America, let's be careful that we don't pray from a position that we're better than they. That's wrong. We need to have the spirit like this man had, and to just confess our sin of the nation and confess us as part of that problem of that nation. To our Lord, our God, belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us and by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he had confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as had been done upon Jerusalem. And God allowed them to be totally overrun, and those that survived taken into captivity. And he says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil came upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. Do you see Americans turning to God because of COVID-19 or because of the evil in our nation? I don't. And this is a worldwide judgment, this disease that God allowed to run over the world. And in America, even though we've been through some rough times here with this disease and that, but I just don't. I don't see people flocking to church, and I don't see people, seeking God. I'm afraid he hasn't got our attention yet. He says, as it is written in the law of Moses, this evil come upon us, yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. I thought this was so appropriate for tonight, because our nation is in this kind of trouble, and it's because of our sin. And there's no other way to put it. Turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to close with this. The pastor said I could make it short. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I bet some of you could quote that by memory. And this is a good one to memorize. God allowed Israel to be overrun because of their sin. And verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God didn't say the Babylonians should humble themselves, or the Chaldeans, or whoever else was against Israel. He says, if my people shall humble themselves. You apply that to today, it would be the church, you and I. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And notice the next one. Turn from their wicked ways. I'm afraid that's the big one. That reason God is not hearing us is because of our wickedness. Because the sin of God's people. Turn from their wicked ways. Then, he says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And I really believe that the church in America, and I mean Christians, that not any particular denomination, but all believers, would get on our knees and seek God and turn away from the sinful programs on TV and all this nonsense that's going on. We would get his attention and things would change. But that's what it'll take. I'm really afraid that that's what it'll take.